So there was this little boy who was out flying a kite, and it was a windy day. And the kite kept going higher and higher until finally it got so high that it was out of sight. And a passerby saw the little boy standing outside holding onto a string, and he asked the boy, "How do you know the kite's still up there?" And the boy replied, "Because I can feel it." We may not be able to see the Spirit of God, the wondrous, mysterious thing that it is, but the gift of the Spirit is that we should be able to feel it working in us, changing us. The Holy Spirit is the active presence of God in this world. And one of the blessings of the Spirit poured out is that in the Spirit, the presence of God is in you. You can feel it. And the work of the Holy Spirit is all throughout this world doing amazing, wonderful things all over, everywhere, and also within you, me, each of us, working within us and our hearts and our souls. A scripture this week is one of the most well-known foundational scriptures about life in the Spirit. It's from the Apostle Paul, his letter to the Galatians, chapter 5. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew that you shall know them by their fruits. You shall know them by their fruits. This is the sign of a believer in this world. You'll know them by their fruits. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It sounds easy enough, right? A couple of weeks ago during kids' time, my daughter Ella did a Fruits of the Spirit craft. And when we got home that night, we were talking about the fruits of the Spirit, and then counting them out on her little craft. And she soon realized that she was missing one of them, and she was very upset about it. And so she said, "We have to go back tomorrow because I'm missing a fruit." And my clever wife, she said, "It's all right, sweetheart. We're all missing a few fruits sometimes." The problem for us, I think, is that in all reality, we will find that there are some serious gaps in our abilities to show kindness, to be loving, gentle, patient. Each of us is a work in progress. At any given time, depending on a variety of things, we fail to produce all the fruit of the Spirit. We're missing a few sometimes. Just after college, I worked at a place with a bunch of kids who were really good at testing the limits of your patience and your kindness. I shared a story this last week in Sunday school. I was working with this kid who was having a lot of trouble. And I had him in this kind of seclusion area, this little room with a door that could shut and lock. I was trying to calm him down. And right then, when I was trying to calm him down, he smacked me right in the face, and it really hurt. And I thought to myself, I'm okay, you know? I can do this. I didn't have to shut the door and lock him in yet. And so I kind of took a breath and kept talking with him, trying to calm him down. And just when I was feeling really kind of proud of myself for how good I was doing, the boy decided then that it'd be a great idea to go ahead and kick me. And he did so. And it wasn't in the face this time. I didn't see it coming. He reared back and he kicked me so hard, I just about cried. And that was it. That was it for me. I slammed the door so fast, and you wouldn't want to see your pastor with that face, I'm sure. He had tested my limits. He found my limits, and it didn't take him any time at all, hardly any time at all. We will find, maybe more often than we'd like to admit, that there are some gaps in our abilities to be loving, patient, joyful, or generous. We will find at some point that some people aren't really that loving and lovable. Some people just aren't that lovable. And we'll find the line where it seems that these things like patience and kindness are good ideas in theory, you know. These fruits don't always just come naturally to us. It's easy to take this scripture, this list of virtues, and think of it as some sort of to-do list for how we need to live our lives. Just be loving, be generous. I'm not sure that's actually the message for us here in Galatians. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Galatians, trying to teach new Christians about living the Christian life. And there was clearly an ongoing struggle within the church. People had begun to believe in the idea that by the works of the law, by their own efforts, that they could be made right. They were just weighed down by this. They were enslaved by this way of thinking, this life of striving to follow this laundry list of rules. And so Paul is writing to tell the people once again about the work of the Holy Spirit and the life of believers. You need only to live by the Spirit, be guided by the Spirit, Paul says. He's writing to clarify for us, for them, that the Spirit of God changes things. We forget. We forget the power of God, that when we draw close to God, when we follow the life-giving Spirit, that God begins to do the work for us, to change us from within. A number of years ago, the Associated Press released a study by an agricultural school in Iowa. And it reported that production of 100 bushels of corn from 1 acre of land, in addition to the many hours of farmers' labor, that 100 bushels of corn required 4 million pounds of water, 6,800 pounds of oxygen, 5,200 pounds of carbon, 160 pounds of nitrogen, and a series of other elements, too many to list. But the point is that there's all these things involved in the air and the soil, which no farmer has the ability to produce on their own. With all of this, plus all the rain and the sunshine at just the right time, it was estimated in this study that only about 5% of the produce of a farm can actually be attributed to the efforts of humans. 5%. And the same is true for us in producing spiritual fruit. It's not our work. It's not because of what we've done. It's the work of the Holy Spirit within us. Charles Spurgeon said, "Without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are ships without the wind, branches without sap, like coals without fire. We are useless." Paul isn't trying to tell us here in the scripture to just be more loving, more patient, more generous. Paul's telling us how faithful, how loving God is, how generous God is, that we who are often, so often, unloving, unkind, that by the power of the Spirit we can be changed. This is what happens to us, the fruits that spring forth in us as we let God in, when we draw close to God and seek to know and love God deeply. In God's great love for us, the Spirit of God is given to all who are in Christ. And God has the power to do wonderful, transformative things within us, to produce these good fruits within us. There's this book by Richard Foster called Streams of Living Water. It's based on this idea that as Jesus says, out of the believer's heart will flow streams of living water. And in the book, the author talks about how each of us is so often living in our own kind of stream of water, flowing, independent. It's how we like it. And he talks about how there are certain things that we simply cannot do, such as loving our enemies, cannot do when we live in our own stream. But when we open ourselves up to God, when we live by the Spirit, we can live into God's stream of water, powerful, overflowing. And living by the Spirit, God is then able to build within us deeply ingrained habits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I have a ministry, a mentor named Don. And though I can't really claim him as just mine, though, he's a mentor to many. And Don has got to be about 70 years old or so. And though his body is worn and his face shows his age, it's clear to me that there's something deeper, something more than meets the eye. I was with him and a bunch of other ministry friends a couple months ago. And we were in this big group, and we were in gathered in a room sharing about ministry. And the discussion could be tense and challenging at times. And if you're watching Don, as I was, you might be absolutely convinced that he was just sitting there on the side, just fast asleep, eyes closed. But someone would say something, and eyes closed, he'd give his affirming nod. He was just listening. There would be periods of silence, and I'd watch him wait, make sure nobody else was going to speak, and then he'd lift up the gentlest, most kind, somehow most profound six-word sentence you could come up with. Never an unkind word. Never an impatient moment. He's the kind of man who makes me just excited. Just can hardly wait to maybe grow up and be just like him. Have you ever met that person? Have you ever met that kind of person? Kind of person who you just know there's no other possible explanation to their life, to the way they live, other than they know God. They love God deeply. Know God deeply. It's the only way. There's a story about Ruth Graham, the wife of Billy Graham. And she was stuck in traffic one afternoon in a construction zone. And it was miles and miles of construction, and there were signs all along the way, 5 more miles, 4 more miles. And after these miles and miles of construction work, at the very end of it, she noticed there was this sign that read, end of construction. Thank you for your patience. End of construction. Thank you for your patience. And it stuck with her for some reason. She thought that's such a fitting sign for us as Christians. Aren't we all under construction, she thought. Under construction till the very end. And if you visit her gravestone today, it reads, Ruth Graham, end of construction. Thank you for your patience. The good news is that the power of God is at work within each of us as Christians, people led by the Spirit. And God is at work molding us, making us new, weaving into us the very fruit of the Spirit from this day to the end. Amen.